Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
I'm still dancing to the song, just so you know.
And there's
I still hear
candy
it in my head.
Littered everywhere across
so much
the studio.
Candy. We have so much candy today. It's so awesome. And you brought in cocktail Jelly Bellies. And I'm wondering why there isn't, who do we talk to at Jelly Belly? Because I think, you know, this is a mix, cocktail classics, gin and tonic, margarita, mimosa, mojito in a Jelly Belly. No, non-alcoholic, just for
yes, non-alcoholic Jelly Belly form.
But I think we should have, do they do a Jelly Belly like wine? I mean, maybe that's how we get the next generation into wine is they start with Jelly Bellies that are like Merlot and Cab. And
which wine would be the best Jelly Belly flavor though? Like which kind?
Sauvignon Blanc.
I think Sauvignon Blanc would be good. I think Riesling.
Because it kind of tastes like, if it tastes a little bit like pear, you know, or something like that,
I've
think that might work.
I've actually been housing a lot of Sauvignon Blanc.
Have you?
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Weekends when I'm meal prepping and doing laundry.
Look at you.
Crack open a little bottle of wine. Yeah, a little bougie boy.
Nice.
You've come a long way since we started
oh,
producing.
Oh, it's cheap wine, but I'm just getting started.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are happy to hear that.
There's hope, everyone
and
out
see,
there. There's hope.
And we can start testing our Sauvignon Blanc Jelly Belly.
I know.
With Jeff, like right away.
So but, I think Sauvignon Blanc, yes. Yeah. I think Riesling, obviously, would be good. I think a little rosé.
Yep, that'd be fun.
You gave me some sparkling champagne, sort of, not a gummy, I don't know exactly what to call it, a version of a gummy. That was delicious.
So that could work.
And then maybe like a Pinot.
Get a little cherry flavor.
Yeah, cherry cola kind of.
Yeah. I think, you know, Jelly Belly's not that far away. I think we go and we... Partnership. Your next partnership.
The next partner.
Carissa.
Hey, Jelly Belly. We got
Jelly
the idea.
Belly.
We got the idea
right. Call
you.
Us, Jelly Belly. We also are open to sponsorships.
Well, that's true. Yeah. We are open to sponsorships. And the best part is, funny, speaking of like trends, I've been living the day cap trend that we mentioned a couple shows ago.
I mean, isn't everybody living the day cap trend?
I think it's amazing.
I was thinking about, I mean, the good and bad of it is there's no real set work day for a lot of people anymore, right? You sort of, because of the phone and the computer, you know, you're working all the time and...
Yeah, I like it.
It's nebulous, so...
And it's been interesting. I've been doing where, like, I'll meet a friend or an associate at, like, 4 o'clock or 4:30. We have a glass of wine, but actually, like, we're getting a lot of business done because it sort of gives you the freedom just to kind of brainstorm and think bigger picture versus being in like the confines of a meeting. But then also might be the Sauvignon Blanc talking.
I think the three martini lunch was a thing for a while.
It was.
For a reason.
I mean, you see Mad Men, you know, when they're being creative at the ad agency, it's because they were, you know, they
had
drinking
a lot
lunch.
Of martinis and then they had liquor in their office. So where's that?
Yeah. Just make sure you get some exercise first.
Ideally.
I know.
Balance. It's all about balance.
Wise words from our producer, Jeff.
Exercise,
he's
then
like,
have the three martinis.
So I work out in the morning. So it's like you get that, you knock that out of the way because you just don't know how your day's going to unfold.
Yeah, day cap followed by,
A day cap followed by a good jog around the neighborhood not a good idea.
All right. Well, we have a guest in the studio coming up.
One of your neighbors, actually.
It's so true.
It is
all right,
true.
Don't tell people where I live. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Follow us online
stuff.
For her address. Just kidding.
Thank you for joining us on today's Good Stuff in Studio. We have Michael Muscardini, founder and winemaker at Muscardini Cellars. I should be able to say that perfectly since you're my neighbor in Kenwood. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, no, it's great. I'm always looking for you walking out there saying, come on in.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's so funny because it's like one of those things where you don't think about going to tasting rooms in your own backyard, right? It's
That's
just
right.
like you always go to these places far away, but yeah.
My backyard
obvious.
Is a tasting room because I just bring my glass of wine out there and I'm tasting it.
Anyone can
create a tasting room in
That's
their
right.
home, in their backyard.
Really? Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and ours is, it was a single room schoolhouse when Abe Lincoln was president.
Crazy.
That's old for America, 160
History.
Plus years.
Yeah,
incredible. So tell us, you know, let's start a little bit, not quite at Abraham Lincoln's time, but I mean, what brought you to Sonoma County?
So I, my first career was as a general contractor, and I always wanted to build my own house. So looking around, we were based in the Bay Area, I needed to get something close. So I did a circle for an hour and said, Sonoma's great. And so came up here, bought, it was actually 32 acres, five parcels with a partner. He still lives there. Ended up building a house there, and then decided to actually sell the construction company in 2004. In 2005, I was like, I could have semi-retired, and I didn't, and jumped right into winery, which I thought, oh, this is good. I'll just build it up,
yep.
Start in 2005, sell it in 2010.
There you go.
It's 21 years.
Yeah. So didn't happen.
No.
No, you anti-retired. You went quite the opposite direction. Yeah. So was wine something that you were already interested
in? Yeah, where did you grow up?
Well, you know, wine was very much part of our life growing up in San Francisco in the Marina District. That's, you know, before all the women were walking around with Lululemons and all the guys looked like Galvin Newsom. Right? It was blue collar back then.
Yeah.
And my grandfather made wine at home. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was he making at home?
He was making, it's derogatory, like a Dago Red. Mm-hmm. You know, he would. There's a picture that we have of him in one of his many wine shops that he had in San Francisco. I think you can see it online in our website. And he's this is right after Prohibition. And he's got about 16 barrels. So you'd come in there and you'd say, Emilio, give me some of that Dago Red or, you know, whatever. And he would blend it. He had Cabernet. My mother was about 12 years old when this picture was taken. She's passed on, of course, too. And he would sell a gallon of wine. This is 1935 for 9 cents.
Oh, my gosh.
And made money on that, a gallon of wine.
So where was he sourcing the grapes or the...
The barrels were all from Napa.
The barrels were all from Napa. Yeah.
So he was just buying it was
like
barrels.
Almost like bulk wine. You just buy barrels. Bulk wine out of your private label, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so funny because, you know, he had taps. The pitcher has taps on the barrels, so the barrels are canted. So you know that, you know, there's not much left in there, but there's a large space for air. So the wine didn't taste very good, but they didn't care because the alcohol was
still there. And it was affordable. So.
Yeah, it was affordable. So was
he a Muscardini? Or
no, he was an Alcara.
Okay.
And his my cousin's still... are in Italy, in Cagliano, which is outside of Asti. So.
Okay, fascinating.
And growing
grapes. Which is outside of where?
Italy.
No, but in Italy, where is it closest to?
It's closest to Milan.
Milan, okay. Mm-hmm.
Milano.
Okay.
And Asti in Sonoma County, is that, I mean, is it deriving from the Italians that came from Asti?
It possibly is. I don't know the history of that.
It could be, because there was such a... I mean, that's where Italian Swiss Colony is, and there was such a connection.
Right.
So was he the first to come to America?
Yeah, he came in about 1919. He actually... one of his claims to fame, he helped dig the Calicot Tunnel. Came only over with about $50. Then sent for my grandmother to come over, and they got married at the church in Washington Square in San Francisco.
Oh, yes. Oh, beautiful church. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Peter and Paul,
something.
And how did they know to come to San Francisco?
Oh, it was just, his brother was already here.
Oh, okay. So, it's a family.
Yeah, it was a family. And
it's so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he worked in, you know, there's still one business on Chestnut Avenue in the Marina District that's been there all this time, and it's Luca Delicatessen.
Okay,
so he was a salesperson at Luca for many years. Anyway, he was a great guy. He passed away when I was relatively young, but, you know, I got to a little taste of wine. I don't know if that set everything in motion, because they always gave me half wine, half water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I'd sit down in front of Ed Sullivan and the color TV and fall asleep, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a plan of theirs.
Yeah, no, that works well. They were good parents.
Yeah, they were good parents.
So you were around wine and around food, but you talked about having a different career until you came to Sonoma County. So Did you have people that you met when you first came that kind of helped you?
Yeah, it started with, you know, I ended up buying 8.5 acres, part of this partnership with a good friend, Francis Collins. And it was like, well, 8.5 acres, you got to plant something on it. You know, it's mm-hmm. got to have grapes on it. So I called Jay over there at the wine vine place, and he said, "What do you want to plant?" And the first name word that came out of my mouth was Sangiovese. I mean, so we planted a Sangiovese vineyard. It still exists. I have sold that property. Hal and Carol own it now, and they're putting it in a little winery. So they're it's continued to grow. It was great because on that planting of that property, I went down and had Monsignor O'Hare, who was the priest at the Catholic Church, St. Leo's, come over and bless the vineyard because my mother was there when we were planting the vines. And I got great points on that one.
Made so, mom happy.
Yeah.
And the
vines were
happy to be blessed.
Happy to be blessed.
Like
anyway,
that.
So that, you know, that that just started from that, and that ended up being for a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just doing it for a hobby. You know, now I had a 2-car garage. We could do it, and had some friends come over, and then one thing led to another, and jumped into it with both feet.
Mm-hmm.
On 2005 was our first year of production.
Which is such a fascinating time, I think, for Sonoma County. I mean, wine in general, but Sonoma County, it feels like that's when the rocket really started to take off.
Exactly.
And so your timing...
So now we're kind of paying for it because the rocket is...
Well, the rocket kept going,
kept going.
Never, like, balanced out, perhaps, but
well, I think we'll all get through it. It's just going to take some corrections.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it in what you and I were just talking about with the sale of Kenwood Winery. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, but I there's still details to be learned, but it feels like a really positive story in a lot of ways. I mean, it was sold, you know, it was owned by a long-standing family, the Paganis forever.
Right.
And then Mike Lee and Marty Lee and John Sheila
Mike Lee, he was great.
And really built it to, you know, one of the premium wineries in Sonoma County at that time. And then it goes to the Hex and the Corbell family. Then to Pernod Ricard for gazillions of dollars, and they didn't, you know, they don't want to be in the wine business anymore.
No, they don't.
And I think that's a positive to go back now to a local family.
That's a good point. No, that's a really good point. And, you know, when Pernod wanted to redo the tasting room, and the whole community came up with it, you know, resisted that, any changes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And I love that it goes back into a family. I mean, even in our experience at the Wine Growers, it's hard to even kind of know who to reach out to at Kenwood, for the last few years, because it's kind of like, well, who's making the decisions for participation or hosting? And so now at least I feel like there's all these new touch points, new old touch points that, you know, will make it feel community again.
Perfect. I know. I think that's great.
And I think that's a good thing for Sonoma Valley.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you want people to be able to come into that part of Sonoma County and have many things to do, right? And so they come and visit Muscardini, but to visit Kenwood on the same day, and then now there's newer tasting rooms.
Sure.
Imapola Creek is your neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brian Wise and I bought the piece of property now 2+ years ago.
Yeah.
And he put in Imapola and then put now Be Wise, so one stop shop. You can go to 3 wineries.
but that's great. I mean, people love that the choice, right? And then the convenience.
Yeah.
So it's the two together, which makes it a really nice experience. And it's
a whole day of it.
Quaint over there too.
Yeah, it makes our parking lot feel fuller, which is good.
Well, you know, that is true. If people see something happening there, then they're more, you know, likely to stop in because it's busy. It's social.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, let's go back to 2005 because this is just a hobby for you at the time.
Prior to 2005. So, started the project in 1999. Met Ty Caton. Oh. He and I went to courses at UC Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on how to plant a small vineyard. That was the first course we took. This is way before power book. What's that? Before you'd see something on
like a
screen.
PowerPoint?
Yeah, PowerPoint. Yeah. So this was, a big auditorium, about 120 of us. And the first picture the instructor shows is a picture of Polynesia with, white sand and blue water and skies and puffy clouds and all that. And we were like, well, where's this going? He goes, if you plant a vineyard, say goodbye to this. And it was very...
Oh my gosh, yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, it was good. So
I guess he wanted to make sure you were committed.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So that's one way to do it.
Did anybody get up and walk out?
No, no.
Okay, so everybody
no one, they were too embarrassed. And so Ty planted something like under 20 acres, and I was planting about an acre plus. And that's where it started. And so one thing,
doing that yourself?
Yeah, it was, well... With Monsignor O'Hare, of course.
was he good at physical labor?
No, but there is something with the blessing, the holy water.
Yeah, it's going to work, right?
Yeah. Anyway, but that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, no, it was great to put that all together, and nice to see the vines growing after all those years. So what else? It's over 20 years.
Yeah.
So they look good. They're head pruned, which is nice. You don't see Sangiovese head pruned, but I like the way they look, like a Zinfandel. So that started it, and it just kept expanding out of there. I worked out of Deerfield Ranch now for so many years. I love working with Cecilia. She's my assistant winemaker and also the winemaker for Robert Rex.
Okay.
Robert Rex is the, of course, executive winemaker. But it's nice, he's invested all the time, has a nice cave. We can do events at the cave.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. He's a great guy.
I'm sure. Neighbor.
A neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so many people have sort of cut their teeth there, right? I mean, where Michael Brown got his start at Deerfield. And I think Jamie Kutch
I remember when he was there.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. So, I mean, he's just been a great member of the community to kind of like keep that vineyard and that cellar going.
Right. Yeah.
Opening his doors.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great because he could support, it's either four or five different wineries per year or so.
Yeah, before you're really up and running and able to kind of have your own space. So, that's a very necessary thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's easy to make good wine. The challenge is selling it, so.
Well.
Yes.
Ain't that the truth. but that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
Let people know more about your wines.
Appreciate that.
So I know we have to take a break pretty soon, but I'd love to know when we come back kind of like, what your vision was once, you decided to go pro in 2005, like kind of what your vision was. Certainly you have a lot of your Italian heritage in every bottle. So we'll talk about all of that when we get back here on The Good Stuff with Michael Muscardini.
Thank you.
Stuff with our guest Michael Muscardini, founder winemaker at Muscardini Cellars in Kenwood. So I'd like to know more about your vision. Like, what were you when you decided to really make a go of it and you've planted this vineyard? What did you want to make outside of Sangiovese? Did you want to sort of honor your Italian heritage? Like, what were you thinking?
Well, I do, I recall that the world didn't need another wine, but they needed it. The world needed to taste my wine, my style.
So, good for you.
That got me going, and started, you know, very small, where I remember going to Squire Friedel, who was a mentor, and I said, well, I can make my first production be about 1,500 cases. And he goes, no, I'd make 500.
Wise advice.
Yeah, and I made like 850. I wish I would have made the 1,500 in 2005.
Yeah,
because those, you know, those are in my cellar and they're still tasting good. So after those 21 years, but so the vision was, there's a lot of great wine out there, but I need to do my own just to share with people, and you know, sharing it with family and friends is really important. So, you know, wine is to be shared around the dinner. We have dinner plans tonight at our house, and if, you know, it's short ribs and the tesoro, or the food wine pairing that I'm doing tonight.
Nice.
Okay.
What time should we be there?
Yeah. 5:30.
Well, okay. Yeah. Jeff Yin, you coming with us?
Yeah.
Even our producer's coming.
We'll just roll right
from here. Jeff's in. Everyone's in.
I think I have enough short ribs to satisfy everyone.
And enough wine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to pass by the tasting room on the way back.
I like it.
So how did you grow? Like, you started with Sangiovese. When did you start to introduce things like Tesoro?
Yeah. So, Tesoro was right off the bat in 2005, and I always saw that as, you know, my version of a super Tuscan. This the Contessa is a super Tuscan, but a real one, I guess you'd say. And my harvest in 2005 was Sangiovese, Syrah, Cabernet, and so the Cabernet never made it as a stand alone, and so it ended up, it was, you know, the Tesoro is always like a 50% Sangiovese, 25 Syrah, 25 Cab, you know, that's a basis, but like this one's 43% Sangiovese. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the thrust was to make the Tesoro, and I needed a name for it. So I remember going to my mother and asking her, and she came back in a matter of minutes and say, call it Tesoro, which is great. If you Google Tesoro, I mean, they make golf bags and jewelry, and there's a oil company named Tesoro. I mean, so there's a lot of Tesoros out there. But it means treasure in Italian and Spanish. And so it was perfect. My mom enjoyed coming to the tasting room with her little get-up in red suspenders, white shirt, black pants. And when she'd see me signing the bottles, she'd push me away and then come over and sign the bottles as well.
Oh, my gosh.
No way.
Yeah, she was very proud. She was my best cheerleader out there, of course.
Aw.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
I love that
so much. I love the visual,
much.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Why the red suspenders? That was just her thing.
I don't know, but...
She do you need to ask? I mean,
I do.
She picked up. You know, she picked up on the highlight of red. I do recall it was about 10 years after she started doing that. She brought in a box and she brought me the red suspenders and said she's retiring.
Oh, what a nice gesture!
Yeah, that's great.
She was great.
Well, it's also because he mentioned Squire Friedel.
I know
who had been Ronald McDonald.
I know. Well,
so like
you didn't know the inspiration.
I wasn't sure.
Maybe Squire mentored, you know, Michael here on the wine and his mom on the wardrobe. Maybe
I know
with the suspenders.
Because, you know, you see Squire Friedel's foils, right? And their stripes.
Yeah.
Which is just like his socks were.
His ode. Huh.
That's so funny.
So can I jump in, though, a minute, Michael? I want to know, like, how did your love of wine evolve, though? Because clearly you grew up with it, with your grandparents. But then, like, when did you, like, you're coming to Sonoma County? Are you out wine tasting? Like, what were some of the wines you were enjoying
It's a great question. There is a huge gap, you know, when I was 20 and 30 and 40. You know, it took a while to get back in there. And to actually, you know, I love organic gardening. I love working in a garden. And so it was a nice combination of growing something and then doing something with the fruit that you grew.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, just growing and jumping into it, the hobby really increased the need to go out there and do the tastings. And as you can see, my love of Italian varietals, Barbera, Sangiovese, and Pinot Grigio, and even the rosato. So,
I mean, was there much of that to really try in 2005? I feel like we've had more of a shift, like, in the last couple of years, maybe for both of you. I mean,
I feel like Segacio would be the one that came to mind first. Yeah. But, were you tasting things like that? Were
Pete's a good friend. Mm-hmm. He still makes our salumi for the that we sell.
Yeah, that was a good segue for him to get in.
They sell the winery for big bucks, and he could retire, and he goes, "No, I want to be a butcher."
How cool is that?
Yeah. It is cool. Yeah, like, we all benefit from that.
Yeah, we all benefit. Mm-hmm. It's got a great shop up there.
But you obviously still had a tie to, were you tasting a lot of Italian wines?
Yeah, so, you know, going to Italy and tasting, you know, the ones I love the most are the Brunellos over there, the 100% Sangiovese's. And I had the opportunity to go and meet Franco Biondisanti. Mm. And in fact, our golden retriever, big guy, his name is Biondi, but his full name is Biondisanti, which means blonde saint.
Aww,
and Biondi. Franco was a great mentor, you know, 100% Sangiovese. He really put Brunellos on the map. Probably when he was starting, there might have been 30 producers. Now there's 250. It was great. And so really inspired me to continue and to understand what they're doing over there that we could do over here. So
yeah, absolutely. Bring some of that to Sonoma County.
Yeah, I'm using the same yeast that they use over the BM45. And
Do you follow similar sort of oak protocols?
Franco was a real believer in no oak. So it was just the huge cast.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, 690 liters and that kind of stuff. And he always have an argument with he and his son. His son's about my age. I'm 75. And his son has gone off. And, I mean, it's unfortunate the winery now has sold to some French outfit.
Those darn French. Yeah. No, interesting. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it does. Yeah, these generations don't always keep it going. But
right. I have an opportunity now to work with Tommaso Venturi, whose family owns the vineyard where the Contessa comes from. And I think we may be one of the only wineries making wine in Italy in Sonoma County. I don't know.
So doing both.
Yeah. Mm. And their family has owned the property since 1645.
Oh, a couple of years. I know.
I love how those dates are just bandied around with no effort in Europe. You're like, 1325, whatever. And here you're like, 1950.
I was going to say, before I ever went to Europe or to a wine region over there, it's like, you know it in theory.
Yes.
But then to actually be of the place and hear it, you're like, wow, we really are new world wine. We really are babies in this wine business here in California.
We are.
But bringing so much more, I would say, innovation and technology, because we have sort of a different view and we came into it at a different time and proximity to Silicon Valley and other things like California.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot
you're
more
right.
Entrepreneurial and innovative.
You know, 20 years ago, there was very much new world winemaking and the old world. And the old world, you know, what's happening in Europe, they're adopting a lot of our
practices
and vice versa. So it's good. It's helping out. All we need is more people
drinking wine.
Drinking
wine. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the good stuff. Back on with Muscardini Cellars, Mike Muscardini, and talking about all the different types of wines you're making, and some of them even from Italy. So, how can people come and experience the wines, your tasting room? How do they find out more?
Besides dinner tonight.
Besides coming to your house for short ribs and Tesoro.
It's good. A Tesoro short ribs dinner tonight for 8.
Plus.
Yeah, plus. Oh, KSRO. You know, there's a lot at the tasting room, you know, once again, our tasting room that we share with Brian Wise's B-Wise in Amapola, which was a single-room schoolhouse when Abe Lincoln was president. So, you know, I know the building is very old.
So cool.
Yeah, and we're taking care of it, and it's great. And, you know, it's a nice place because you have great parking. You have a big lawn in the back. I mean, it's really beneficial to having the winery there and the tasting room there. And we're open 11 to 6 daily.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I haven't closed. We've tried closing, but pretty much that. And it's nice now because you can go and taste 3 different wines at one place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amapola, B-Wise, and Muscardini. And we have a lot of events. We're getting our music back. I think it's next month. I don't have that date, but you check the website.
Yeah.
And that's always great to, you know, to fill the deck up. It's fun because, you know, I tell the band, make it as loud as you want because it's going east. And so,
right, toward the mountains.
Yeah, toward the mountains.
Bothering
it's
anyone.
Not bothering
yeah.
you. And we have events in the backyard that we wrap up at 9 p.m. because of our neighbors. Karen, our tasting room manager, and, well, that's actually Nick, sorry. Karen, our wine club manager, has created some really great events. And one of them that just happened was called Shades of Sangiovese. So what we had was we had current bottled Sangiovese and barreled. And people were able to taste that whole difference. This was wine club members, so it was free for them. We had 2 sessions, you know, 64 people in a day. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Well, that's super fun because I feel like that's not something you get to experience very often. So to have that kind of opportunity, love it.
Well, and I think people who love Italian varieties and love things like Sangiovese, like there's not that many opportunities here. So they can learn, they can taste, and they're with fellow aficionados, which is nice.
Yeah, a new one for us is Sagratino. Had that experience?
Say that 5 times.
Yeah, yeah,
no, Sagratino.
Okay. And, Sagratino,
it's a new one for us, and we're bottling it here in June. So
nice.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So you're expanding your lineup a little bit. How many wines do you make these days?
Yeah, it's, you know, Cabernets and Zinfandels. It's hard to say no to someone.
Right? Well, especially a Sagratino, they know you're going to say yes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
You know, like the Mike Pucci, who you know.
Yeah, with San Giacomo.
Yeah, San Giacomo. My goal was always to have Muscardini with a night, you know, San Giacomo at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, let's get together. And so we'll do that. We did a partnership with them. And I sat down thinking, well, we'll choose some Italian varietal. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you know, we have 1,300 acres that we oversee. And it's all Pinot.
Chardonnay.
That's true.
Oh, we have one little Merlot plot. It's on Broadway.
Yep.
So I said, well, you know, I do make Merlot when we do our caps. You know, it gives a little fruit background to that structure. And so the Merlot was fantastic, and we still make it. Not every year. But.
Okay. Oh. And the Rosato is also Sangiovese.
It's also Sangiovese, coming from Santo Giordano Vineyard, Sue Smith. She's the grower. She's right out there by Gloria Farrar. Across the street.
So do you know every grower in Sonoma County that has an Italian variety?
A lot of them. I mean, we do. We do. And, you know, then even my daughter, who's working with me these days, when we do competitions like San Francisco Chronicle competition, we end up getting some of the Sangiovese sent to us so we can compare what are they doing versus us.
Oh, that's great.
Especially the ones that get double gold or something.
Yeah, it's probably good to see what they're up to and where you're in the mix. But
I'm definitely inspired by the latest events, and particularly, you know, bringing wine from Italy. It's always great. I mean, it's not cheap to do. It's the most expensive wine that we make, but it's fun. It's a dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody should go to muscardinisellers.com if you want to learn more.
Yeah.
Tasting room is family, picnic, and dog friendly.
Love yes. that.
There's a nice porch too. Like, yeah. Yeah. So there, it's a good hangout spot.
Yeah. Go. We have a tent and you can bring the kids and especially those that are getting close to 21 years old.
Yeah.
And,
let's hope. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. No, it's been great. It's really been great. I appreciate the opportunity.
Up on today's Good Stuff with Michael Muscardini. He was fun to talk to.
Super fun. Yep. I met him early on when I started this job 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
and because they were really involved over, you know, back when the wine auction and all
That's
those
right.
events taste, you know, the wine auction would be over in Sonoma Valley, typically at Chateau St. Jean being mm-hmm. hosted there. And obviously, Taste of Sonoma would be out at McMurray Ranch. Those are sort of the two, you know, big events that Sonoma County Vintners put on. And yeah, Michael and family and Squire, all of the Sonoma Valley folks were very active in the...
they used to make it a very good time. And the Benziger Boys.
Oh, the Benziger Boys, the whole Sonoma Valley crowd. I, you know, danced with a bunch of them and the Magnum Force, the women, not the men, for the auction. And anyway, super fun.
It was a time.
Squire's wife, you know, choreographed everything. Anyway.
Yes, she did.
So a lot of fond memories. And again, Michael and family were some of the first folks I met.
I love the story about his mom.
I know, the red suspenders.
The red suspenders and like
so much.
Taking over. She's going to sign all the bottles now. Like, wow.
Push him out of the way.
Wow.
So
incredible.
It is a family affair, an Italian family affair, for sure.
Yeah. Well, people really should go Muscardini Cellars on Sonoma Highway in Kenwood. And one of the few that has picnics, dog friendly, family friendly, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and open daily, which is nice too.
It is nice. Yeah. And there's, other good things to do over there.
And knock on your door.
Nope. Don't knock on my door. But go and eat at Stella. Go eat at Stella Kenwood if you want really good pasta,
which is
on theme for today. So
I love that.
Yeah.
So what's happening Tuesday night? Because I don't know if he's going to really invite us over for short
ribs.
Well,
he didn't. I noticed he didn't leave his address.
No.
He did. He said 5:30, but he didn't
say
where.
Yeah, we got the time, but we got no location. That was a very soft, loose invite,
I think it means we're going to have to create our own short rib and maybe not Tesoro, but other wines party, because we don't want to copy them exactly.
Well, maybe we're just going to have to take a bottle of wine to dinner with us, to Stella's.
Yes. What, to, yes.
Yes.
Or Capbianca. I'm open to that.
I love Capbianca.
Okay.
You know.
We have choices.
We have choices.
I'm going back to, you know, his early beginnings. I'm going to do a Muscardini Sangiovese from Alice Vineyards in Sonoma Valley.
Nice.
2021. I don't know if Alice Vineyards is what he first planted, because he also mentioned that somebody else is farming it now. So, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I know. Well, I'm going to do, because I don't know if I've actually tried it, is the 2021 Zinfandel from Monte Rosso Vineyard, a famous vineyard in the Sonoma Valley in the Moon Mountain District. Yeah, I'm super excited. It looks like the current vintage is 2021.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to go kind of authentic.
Well, and you're going in Valley, right? I mean,
he
can probably see Monte Rosso from his tasting room or vice versa. So that's kind of nice. You're keeping
it
specific.
I know. Oh, I'm just looking. He also does a grappa, Bianca. Who knew? A little grappa.
I mean, he has to. If he's going with the Italian theme, I think you have to do a grappa.
Grappa. All the good stuff.
Yeah.
It really is.
You know, when there was the general's daughter in Sonoma County, in Sonoma town of Sonoma, they actually for a while did a grappa cart. They sourced all these different grappas from local producers as well as from Italy. And they did a good job of it. They did, you know, try to expose people to like, this is a category that you may have heard is not delicious, but here.
I feel like every restaurant should have a wine cart zipping around.
Yep, with lots of different things in it.
Yeah, would you like to try a little something, including Jelly Bellies?
Jelly Belly wine.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've solved so many problems.
I know. Yes, we have. Just another show.
Thank you for joining us today from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.